Well, water is our lifeblood. It is one of the three or four most fundamental resources that we need here for agriculture in California. We need soil. We have the climate for it. We need labor and, of course, water. And we can't grow the crops that we grow in California, the diversity of the crops that we have here, without any of those four resources.
Joe Delboski has a diversified farm near Mendota, California. Almonds, asparagus, and cantaloupes thrive on his irrigated fields. There were more crops at one time, but water circumstances limit what can be grown today. How does a farmer survive drought conditions that continue for several years? Today's segment is part of the series titled Water is a Many Splendid Thing. Hello, I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water. Many farms located in western Fresno, California, have had their water allocations reduced to only 10% of their total allowable amount. For Joe, this meant having to make choices impacting what land would be irrigated and what food would be grown. Joe explains the history of water deliveries at his farm.
Well, actually, we've only had cutbacks in our water starting in 1992. And the worst droughts that we've had prior to this year was a 25% allocation of water. That means that our water was cut back 75% of our full allocation. And we've been able to get through because we've had good years and bad years. And when you look at all of the years since 1992 up until before this year, our average allocation has been about 60 or 65%. And so we save up in the good years and we carry through the bad years, but nothing could prepare us for 10% water. Well, this year really has put a big crunch on our farm. We are down in crops about 50% of where we were in 2007. Basically, what we've done is we've cut out a lot of the crops that we used to grow, like tomatoes, cotton, wheat. And we even had to reduce our asparagus acreage. We had to reduce our cantaloupe acreage. And what we're trying to do is hold on to those crops that bring us the biggest value. Now, with that said, we came into this year with less water carried over from last year. That's an important part of our water portfolio is conserving water and saving it and having some water to carry forth into the new year. And we had less water coming into this year. Now, we had a huge cut in water deliveries this year. And so that carryover was very vital to us. We probably would be out of business if we didn't have that right now. But we are able to get by this year, just cut down to the bone in our crops. And at the end of this year, we will have probably zero water to go into next year. So we're facing quite a critical year next year if we don't get more water than we got this year.
So what about alternative supplies? I asked Joe if they use groundwater wells to supplement water needs during a drought. They have drilled down to 1,000-foot depths, hoping to find more water, but the geology of the area does not include any significantly productive aquifers. So what does a farmer fall back on if the absence of water prevents him from farming?
Well, because I have a great relationship with my labor, I have to look at this thing as a family approach, you might say. If I were to look into a backup plan, I would certainly try to do whatever I could to maintain jobs for our people. It would be easy for a farmer to say, I'll just sell this thing and I'll just retire with what I sell it for. But what about our people? What do they do? Lack of water would wipe out all the little communities and the families. They would have to leave. What could we do out here as a backup? I don't know. Some people have talked about solar farms. What does that do for our people? They'd have to go to the city someplace else to look for jobs. There's no labor involved with solar farms or wind farms or anything like that. So I have a hard time thinking about alternatives where the whole community is going to lose out.
Joe is very willing to contribute ideas and other support for new ways to enhance success to endangered species populations while making more water available to the state. He seeks balanced approaches that incorporate multiple benefits to the environment through creative solutions. These solutions become real through collaborative efforts of farmers in their industry and other major water users of California.
Well, I think that you have to have some balance in the use of water. Water is become a more limited resource. It's a very precious resource. It's something that is needed by urban or municipal uses. It's also very much needed for agriculture. And, of course, you have the environment that also needs water. I'm not one to say that all the water should come to farms and cities and to heck with the environment. I'm conscious that the environment needs to have some help. It needs to have better management. And so, yes, we should find balance, absolutely, where our goal is a more complete ecological approach to helping the species that are endangered or threatened.
Joe told me that raising crops is like raising children. It's a 7-day-a-week effort that always presents unexpected circumstances. I remember another person mentioning that it takes a community to raise a child. The willingness and pragmatic thinking that the farming community brings will surely generate new ideas that will benefit California growers and California citizens at large. Surely, we are each in this one together. Fundamental to our lives and environment. I'm Steve Baker. This is Living Water.